The book of Philippians 4:15 through 20. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving but you only. For even in Thessalonica you sent aid once and again for my necessities, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from the Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And may God supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. In this place of Scripture, Apostle Arkady has noted four principles of honoring God with your tithes and your offerings, which are presented to us here in a unique form of giving. And so what do the Scriptures conceal and contain when it comes to giving? First, giving, Apostle Arkady writes, is the method of accepting or acknowledging the delegated authority of God. These four principles we will find in this very place of Scripture we just read. All of these four are in it. The first is the method of accepting or acknowledging the delegated authority of God. No church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. As we can see, the giving of a person needs to be with receiving of the person of God. The Scriptures say in one of the first sermons of Jesus Christ, when he came, there were many widows in Israel, but not one of them was Elijah sent to, except one, the widow who was in Sidon. Not a single widow in Israel, but was sent to a Gentile widow. They were angry. This was the first sermon when he came in the power of the Holy Spirit, being tested in the wilderness first, and he came to the city that they had built on the mountain and to toss it down. We can say, it is necessary, he said, to receive the person whom God has sent. The Scriptures say that God nourished Elijah and he saved the widow. He did not just nourish Elijah, but using him, he saved this widow. When he came to this widow, God said, I had commanded her to feed you. She was gathering wood so that she can cook or prepare her final meal. She had just enough for one more meal. And he said, can you bring me some water? And she went to bring him water. The water was a deficit. And then he told her while she was going, can you also bring me a small bread or a cake? She turned and said, may your Lord God live. I have nothing prepared except a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil. I will prepare this. My son will eat this and die. And she said, you won't. Pay attention. The Lord waited for the last moment until the widow had this little bit left. We see that God did not just want to feed Elijah, but wanted to save this widow. And so the first is the ability to acknowledge, accept the authority of God. We don't just give, we accept this person. If we accept but don't give, this is wrong. But if we don't accept but give, is also wrong. Our giving needs to be with the receiving of the person whom God has sent into our life, whom he sent. The second giving is fruit that abounds to our account. Not that I seek the gift, he wrote, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. As we can see, giving is not just the sowing into our for our future. This is the demonstration of our fruit in real time. we honor God with our tithes and our offerings so that we could sow for our future. First of all, when we give our tithe to God, we demonstrate before God our fruit. And, of course, this is sowing for the future. Third, giving is a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice while pleasing to God. Apostle Paul writes, "Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from the Epaphroditus the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice while pleasing to God." We know that a sweet-smelling aroma only can happen upon the golden altar of incense, and we know that the golden altar directly collaborates with our faith so that it can adopt our body by the redemption of Christ. And so see how important giving and participating of tithes and offerings, how much it is connected to the adoption of our body, because redemption happens from the four, comes from these four horns, and giving gives us access to these four golden horns of the golden altar of incense. And fourth, giving, Apostle Arkady writes, is the means by which our needs are fulfilled. Apostle Paul says, "And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." And so who is behind our success? If it's not God, then the other individual, the terrible individual, is the one, if he is behind our success, the evil will require much back. He will require your relationship with the saints, relationship with your spouse, your children, your health, and also give me your eternity. Nothing's ever free. This is a terrible individual that can bless us when we're not upon the place that God has required us to be, and suddenly we receive some sort of blessing or prosperity. This is terrible. When God blesses a person financially who is not in the church, we could say that this person will have terrible results with their family, their health, their spouse, but they'll be financially blessed. And why? Because it's not God, but the evil individual who has blessed this person. He will require us to give everything to him before we leave this earth. And he will want our future as well, our eternity. Right now we will sing a psalm to God, and we will confirm our confessions with the works of righteousness. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he who is holy, let him be holy still. And so to do unrighteous work is supported by the mammon, and to do righteous work is supported by God. To do unrighteous work is what? Is to give where I want, how much I want, and when I want. What is this? What does it mean to do righteous work? Is to give where God has commanded, how much he has commanded to give. And so we will do this right now upon this place where there's a record of God's name. Let us stand up, and we will take part in this wonderful service. Allow me to repeat after Apostle Arkady that every time when the nation of Israel honored God with their tithes and their offerings in the tabernacle of Moses or the temple of Solomon, they were required, as a command Moses gave them, which he received from God as a revelation from him, to stretch out their hands over their tithes and proclaim a great proclamation, which they continued to do for thousands of years, where the same Israel, connected to the same roots, nourished by the same olive tree, we will do the same thing. Please stretch out your hand over your tithes and pray together with me. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I have separated my tithe from my house and have brought it into your temple so you may have food within your house. I do not give in uncleanness. I do not give in sorrow. I do not give for the dead. I deeply believe in your unchanging word, and I am glad that I have the privilege to demonstrate my love and to acknowledge your authority. Now, according to your words, I pray, may your heavenly windows be opened, and may your blessing come without end upon your redeemed nation. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. May the Lord bless you. You may be seated.